Anyway, Matthew chapter 14, while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it'll fall on good soil. People's lives will be touched. Lord, you meet every person that's in this room tonight at their point of need through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, starting in verse 22, familiar story, Jesus walks on the water. Amen. And tonight we want to talk about water walking faith. But he says here, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Praise the Lord. Truly you are the Son of God. You think they would have had that figured out already. But, yeah, you know what? I forgot to do the announcements. I'll do them later. Praise God. So, anyway, getting back to our story here. You know, we all go through storms, right? Storms are a part of life. You know, people say Jesus brings the storms in our life. He brings the challenges, and he doesn't. But still, they're there. And in this particular story, you find three things. First of all, the multitudes left after they were fed, 5,000 people. Second, Jesus went on the mountain to pray. And thirdly, the disciples headed to their next destination, all right? They did not know there was going to be a storm, the disciples. You think they would have been because they were fishermen, okay? But they didn't know that a storm would break out, but they were promised by Jesus that they would go to the other side. That was a promise. Am I right? He didn't say they were going to get to the other side without a storm. He just said, "You're going to get to the other side." In the middle of that little trip, Satan brings a storm. All right? And Jesus said, "I'll meet you on the other side." And the promise from God, let me tell you something about a promise from God. A promise from God is better than a calm, sunny day. All right? Better than a calm, sunny day. And the storm, although not from God, was used by God to teach them a lesson and to develop the strength and maturity that they needed as disciples. You know, you could look at a challenge, you could look at a storm as something to stop you, or you could look at it as a stepping stone. And it all depends how you look at it. You could see the water half full or half empty. It depends on you. You know, and we live in such a negative world today that everybody looks at things from a negative viewpoint, from a negative standpoint. But it's not that the adversity makes us strong, you know, or that God causes it, because storms just happen. Things happen. But our faith that we use against those storms is what gives us strength, what gives us growth. It's what gives us maturity in Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. All right? You know, I'll tell you what, if adversity made us strong, I'd be Hercules. If adversity made us strong, no believer would ever fail. Because adversity doesn't make you strong. It allows you to use your faith. Amen. It allows you to grow. Amen. Can you say amen? Some people, you know, get upset at the littlest things going on and everything. You know what? All they need to do is make an adjustment because it's a maturity problem. You know, I always, you know, I preached a sermon one time. I said, what am I going to do to make you mad to leave? What could I say to make you leave? Could it be somebody sitting in your seat? People have left church over things like that. You know, look at me like I fell out of a tree. Okay. I'm just telling you, what, you know, it's all maturity. It's all a mature situation and causes us to grow. Anyway, getting back to our story. So the storm wasn't for Jesus, but Jesus used it as an opportunity for the disciples to grow. All right? He gave them a promise. The promise was, you're going to the other side. Yeah, I'm going to meet you on the other beach, man. Don't worry about it. Just go. Don't worry what's happening in between. Just, I'm going to meet you on the other side. Okay? And in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it tells us that Jesus, while in the presence of God on the mountain, we don't have to turn there because it's in Mark, it's in Matthew, and it's also in John, the same story, just from different viewpoints. All right? But Jesus was in the presence of God. How many of you know when you get in the presence of God, he'll show you things? Every single time. Well, while he's in the presence of God, Jesus saw the disciples rowing. So, you know, God, Jesus, always sees your problem. Okay? And he saw the disciples rowing against the storm. And he walked out to save them. He was, you know, even though Jesus is in heaven right now, he sees you. He sees what you're going through. Amen. He sees us in the midst of our storms, and he's given us water walking faith. He's seen that we go through it. And oftentimes we look at the world, and it looks like the world has it easier than us as they walk through their storms for some reason. They'll go through the same stuff. When we look at them, they go, but they have it so easy. But they walk on the shore. Hello? See, if you walk on the shore, you're not going to sink. Amen. But we live a supernatural life. Okay? We're supernaturally. They don't live a supernatural life. So they have to walk on the shore. All right? So, it looks safer on the shore. We know that. But through, we are all in the boat of salvation. Okay? We have an opportunity for a miracle every single day. Every single day. I did a sermon one time on this and it says, are you ready to jump out of the boat? So are you ready to step off the edge of the mountain, sink or swim? You know, are you ready to do that? Because when you're ready to do that, you know you're growing. Because we don't know what's out there. If we knew what's out there, it wouldn't be faith. So we live in the boat of salvation, and we have an opportunity for a miracle to happen in our life every single day. Our storms that come against us are, number one, an opportunity for us to grow and an opportunity to be delivered by Jesus' power. Amen. But do we look at it that way? No. Okay? And it also says that Jesus came to them on the fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest part of the night. Okay? Just before morning. And sometimes when we're believing God for something, our deliverance seems like it's late. But the sun is going to rise. You know, there's a verse of scripture that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. that there's always deliverance. And it says Jesus came walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. And it just says Jesus walked on the water. And I'll tell you what, if they didn't cry out to Jesus, he would have went right on by. You know, we said it Sunday. I believe it was Sunday when we were talking about the two blind guys. They were screaming, hollering, and yelling at the top of their lungs, and Jesus just ignored them and kept on going. You need to get that. It's part of it's online. But he just seemed to have a lack of concern for them. You know? And we feel that way sometimes. We feel, God really don't care about the struggles I'm going through. The hard work I've been doing for him. You know? And what did the disciples do? We do the same thing. We tried to row to shore. You know? The disciples were rowing and rowing and rowing. And he just walks by like he's on a carefree stroll. Didn't even see them until they cried out for fear. Just like the two blind men went and sought Jesus in the house. These guys started crying out for fear. It tells me, Jesus is always there. But why did Jesus act that way? You know, we got to ask ourselves that question. Well, it's an example to us, you know. Jesus gave them a promise, and that promise was simple. Get to the other side. He promised they would get to the other side. And he gave two examples of how they can get to the other side. Jesus came walking on the water, and the disciples were afraid because Jesus came walking on the water. Hey, if he had come in another boat, they probably wouldn't have been afraid. But he chose not to come in a boat. He chose to walk on the water. Wow, I like that. A boat we would expect. You know, let me say, if you're in a boat and you're out, you know, 60 miles, you're out in the canyon out there fishing and your boat starts sinking, you know, and all of a sudden a bunch of fishermen came walking up to you on the water, you'd be freaked out. But if a Coast Guard cutter pulled up, you'd be, ha, wow. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. It was a shock. But Jesus was showing them something. Their endless toil in rowing was worthless and unnecessary. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? They had the ability to walk above the storm of life. We have that ability. Listen, he acted like he was unconcerned in the storm, and he used it as a demonstration to show them how to have water walk in faith. Amen. All right? They needed to treat the storm as if it wasn't even there. And the rough water as powerless to stop them. Whatever Satan tries to bring against you, it's powerless against you. Amen. If you know how to appropriate the promise of God through faith. Amen. It shouldn't bring us fear. They saw the storm as an obstacle to their progress. Jesus saw it as a means of progress in their life. Are you hearing me? Amen. You know, this is an aside. Acts chapter 16, we have another illustration. When Paul and Silas were in prison, okay? It was curtains for them too. And what did they do? They start singing praises. Amen. And supernaturally, they're released from prison. Yes. Suddenly, I love that. Suddenly, the doors were open and they were out of there. That's another illustration of standing on the promise of God. Hello? Now, Peter decided in this story, if Jesus could walk on water, why couldn't he? That sounds pretty good. So he asked Jesus if he could walk, come to him on the water. And Jesus said one word, come. All you need from Jesus is one word to overcome whatever you're going through tonight or any day of your life. One word. He spoke. Peter did not walk on the water. He walked on the one word that Jesus said, come. Peter had no power to walk on the water. But he had the power to walk on the word. And that's what we have. That's why we have authority over everything that would come against us. Because Jesus said it. You know, the promise was between the bottom of his feet and the surface of the water. On a simple little word, come. Hello? And he, like Jesus, he disregarded the storm because he stood on the word of God. He stood on the word of Jesus. He disregarded the storm. He disregarded the waves to go out there to meet Jesus. I like that. To go out there to meet Jesus. It wasn't until he looked at the wind and the waves that he lost the word. And you see, when we get a word from God, whether it's healing, finances, whatever that word might be, because I have a word from the Lord, and we stand on it, we stand on it, and what happens is we're doing real good standing on that word. But then all of a sudden the waves and the wind starts coming, and we get our eyes off the word, and we start to sink. Can you say amen? We start to sink. And how do we solve that problem? We get our eyes back on the word. What did Peter do? He cried out to Jesus. He got his eyes back on Jesus. And Jesus says, it's okay, Peter, come on. See, if you start to sink, it's okay. Just get back to Jesus. He's our anchor. And when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat, the storm stopped. You know what that tells me? Storms don't last forever. You know, my wife and I, we work up on the beach, and there's days we'll get up there, 8 o'clock, quarter after 8, and it's pouring. And their mentality is, storms stop. So they don't send anybody home. They make them wait. Sometimes they wait an hour, sometimes they wait 2 hours. Because they're thinking is storms will stop. If they don't stop in 3 hours, then they send everybody home. Because nobody's going to show up anyway if it does stop. But you understand about storms stop. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, and we live in a different world. We're here. But our thinking should be heavenly thinking. Our affection should be set on things above and not on things of the earth. And so the usual way we think of getting across a lake during a storm is to row as hard as we can. And the way we think of getting out of a problem is to call up everybody we can and try to do everything we can to get out of the problem. The people in the world can do this, but we're not of the world. I'll tell you what, we have a power that the world don't have. Amen. We just need to tap into it, man. Amen. But we're not using it. Rowing, in this instance, rowing is a work of the flesh. They were trying to get out of that storm in their flesh. And you might be thinking, well, it was raining and everything. They were scared of you. But Jesus says, I'll meet you on the other side. Jesus, the one they saw raised the dead, We're in Matthew chapter 14 now, okay? He raised the dead, blind eyes open, crippled people walked. He said, hey guys, I'll meet you on the other side. There should have been no doubt. No doubt in their mind whatsoever, but there was a lack of faith. Jesus said it, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. And so the problem with the disciples is often our problem. We don't take advantage of the word of God. We don't take advantage of the promises of God and the grace of God. We depend on our own wisdom, our own devices, and our own knowledge to get ourselves out of a problem. You know, I'll just use the area of tithing, okay? Some people have such a hard time with tithing or giving offerings. I, for the life of me, I can't figure that out. Okay? Because really, that's a step of faith. Yes, it's not even a command in the Word of God anymore. It was commanded in the Old Testament because they were hard at it. But he gives us illustration after illustration after illustration. And I believe so many people get hung up on the fact about you know, something comes our way, we give 10%. And so just recently something came in the mail, and we gave 10%. And to be honest with you, I was a little short this week. But to be honest with you, it's overflowing right now. Amen. Are you listening to, you getting what I'm saying? Last week, I was figuring, well, man, we got to do this, we got to do that, as, you know, as a husband and wife. And then this thing came up, and she says, make sure you tithe. And so we tithed on that. And today, things start coming. And I don't understand why people get so upset over that. Think it's like it only works for pastor. It don't only work for pastor. It works for anybody who have faith to do it. Is it right or wrong? So, don't depend on your own wisdom and your own devices. God's ways are above your ways. If we know his thoughts and his, he says it over in Isaiah chapter 59. And we're going to be done. This is one of the shortest sermons I ever preached. But I'm here to tell you, this is a powerful sermon if you'll get a hold of it. All right, but he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes, they're higher than us, but the Bible also tells us we have the mind of Christ. So guess what? We could think like God. We could elevate our thoughts to, you know, these people, they go to the transcendental meditation and they got the colors flowing through them and all that stuff. You know, dude, we got the creator of the earth living on the inside of us. Amen. His thoughts are above Shirley MacLaine's. Hello? Amen. Just so you don't, you know, she can get mad too. Sue me. Stand in line. But if we know his thoughts, we know his promises, then we could step out on them. In faith. In faith. And we can walk above the circumstances. They're going to come at you. It's life. That's life. That's a result of sin from Adam and Eve. The problems we face today is a result of what they did back in the garden. So they're going to be here till Jesus comes back and cleanses this earth. So you just might as well chin up. And walk in faith. And we'll just bring this to a conclusion. Because turn to John chapter 6 for a minute. Now this is the same story. It started in verse 15. And you get over to verse, well, let's just read from, verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately, everybody say immediately. The boat was at the land where they were going. Now, just to go back to Matthew, they were in the middle of the sea. They were about 4 or 5 miles out. Okay? You know, you get 4 or 5 miles out, and it's hard to see land. Okay? But after Peter walks on the water, takes that step of faith on the word of Jesus, and starts to sink, and Jesus pulls him up, Jesus gets back in the boat. They're in the middle of the Galilee. Jesus gets in the boat, and the next thing they are, the wind stops, and they're at land. See, that's how much God loves you. Amen. That if he'll just hang on in faith, before you know it, he'll get in the boat with you, and guess what? You'll be on land. Amen. Glory to God. When Jesus got into the boat, the storm stopped, and the boat was immediately at the other shore. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all you could ever ask or think of. You can't even think of the stuff that he'll do for you. And the interesting thing about it, he saved the best for last. They ended up on the shore. Got in the boat, that wasn't enough. The wind stopped. Peter walked on the water, but he saved the best for last. So the best is yet to come. Amen? You know, even Jesus at the wedding of Cana, he saved the best wine for last. Jesus always saves the best for last.
Yes.
So you haven't seen his best yet. But I'll tell you, his best is coming. It is coming, and it will overtake. Because he abundantly, exceedingly abundantly. I think about that verse of scripture in Ephesians. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could. I have some exceedingly abundantly thinking. He's above that. Yep. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the lottery. You know, what would you do with $480 million? You know, that's pretty exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. And then I thought of this verse of scripture. And that's pennies to Jesus. He's thinking is way above that.
Amen.
We got this pea brain mentality here on the earth. And he's the creator of the universe. And he's our father. And Jesus is our brother. And the Holy Spirit's our caretaker. So what are we? Listen, that message excites me because through that, it shows me that, yeah, I might get down and out. The storms might come. I might stink a little bit. But I just have to make adjustment in my life.
Right. Amen.
You know, how many go to chiropractor? Anybody go to chiropractor here? I go to chiropractor once a month. And you know what? All I need is an adjustment. There was a time I went to the chiropractor 4 days a week, actually. You know, and he would adjust me. And then finally, now I go once a month. I don't even have to go, but I go just to keep myself in adjustment. I don't know if it does anything. I don't know. I guess it does, you know. But my point is, most of the time, all we need to do is make an adjustment in our life. He's given us everything. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's just praise the Lord. Come on up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just lift our hands towards heaven. And thank you, Jesus. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for all the benefits that you've given us. How you exceedingly abundantly want to give us more than we could ever think or imagine, Father God. You want us to succeed. Your word, you say you have a desired end for us. And you want us to succeed in everything that we do, Lord. We know that when the challenges come our way, when the storms come our way, when the waves start splashing in the boat, we have your word to stand on. We have your word to bring us to the other side instantly. And Father, we praise you for that tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father God, we just give you the honor. We give you the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's one, any, you know, people, you say, well, Pastor, you know everybody in here. That don't mean anything. Maybe someone's here never really committed their life to Jesus. You know, almost 40 years ago, sitting on a dock in Island Heights, I gave my heart to Jesus. And man, I've been living on the edge ever since. And guess what? I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yes, hallelujah.
People ask me, do you miss what you used to do when you were in the business world? Not by a long shot, folks. Not by a long shot. And I get 3 days a week to remind myself how blessed I am to be doing what I'm doing.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you're here and you've never committed your life to Christ, today's the first day of the rest of your life. You just need to open up your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I don't understand everything this guy is saying, but you know what? I want to receive Jesus. Because I want to have water walking faith. I want to be able to go out. I want to be able to stand on the promises. I want to be able to walk in your grace. And if that's you tonight and you want to receive Jesus, you want to make him Lord of your life, put up your hand. We'll pray with you before I turn the service back over to Carol. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. He loves us so much. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. Honey.